Dre, a DJ on the mic. Ask what it's like. It's like we're getting hyped tonight. Cause if a strike, it ain't for your good health, but I won't strike it.
Maurice Brosnan, you're in studio to get us hyped for the NFL playoffs. Happy New Year to you.
Likewise.
Thanks very much. Are you excited for this weekend?
Very, yeah. Can't wait. It's an unbelievable time of the year, really. Like, coming off what we had last week, I heard the podcast before Christmas where Mick was complaining about a relatively disappointing NFL year. And you got basically everything you wanted last week, both like in terms of extremes of good and extremes of bad. It just kind of was the perfect weekend, really.
Yeah, because you know why? Because it was.
Playoffs!
What's going on here?
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
So it's playoffs.
I couldn't put it
any better myself.
Jim Mora there, the greatest interview of all time, forever immortalizing the word
playoffs
in NFL culture. But like, genuinely, last Saturday especially, Sunday was half and half, but Saturday between the Bills like and Houston, which is supposed to be the early Saturday game, which is half nine here, is always on the wild card weekend, is always the kind of the one that nobody really wants to watch. The kind of, you know, it's always seemingly the Houston Texans are involved in it, and they played the Bills, and it was just brilliant. It was so much drama, you know, went to overtime, like Josh Allen having this like game of his life, looking like, God, this guy is coming in on the road in the playoffs and he is dominating. We didn't think he had this in him. What an amazing turnaround. And then to just absolutely collapse in the fourth quarter and become this like calamity of a player, and everything that he could possibly do wrong, he did. And then for Deshaun Watson on the other side, who's like, you know, had a relatively quiet game, and then just to sort of turn it on and get the job done when he needed to, like, it was brilliant.
You've it up on Twitter, Morris, you've the perfect screen grab of Deshaun Watson at the end.
It's insane. It's
like, how in the name of God did he not get sacked?
Do you know what I was thinking afterwards? Was that kind of, you know, those, this is, bear with me, a podcast, this is, you know, those office tools where you have kind of those, like, it's like five metal balls and you pull one and it goes it keeps going all the way along. It was kind of like that moment, like that kind of movement in one. Like, he got rattled so hard from the left that I actually think that was going to knock him, and the fact that somebody else rattled him from the right kind of steadied him again.
Yeah.
And he was able to take off then. Like, they both probably would have knocked him, but because he was already moving so quickly to the left by being like knocked that way and then being knocked back right, it kind of like the two of them balanced themselves out.
It was like one of the cartoons, like, you know, when you'd see like whoever it is, the character Bugs Bunny or whatever, and like there's two big gruffs coming to get them and they just duck and they smash them. But it was unbelievable.
If you're a Bills fan, you're watching that going, how can you not tackle him to the ground there? You had your chance. That defense played really well. And it's really, you get really angry if you're a supporter of that team and you're watching it. But it's funny how it's always the same guys, isn't it? Like, ultimately, it is a missed tackle. But like, I've like watched, like, you know, watching Patriots games against Ben Roethlisberger for years, and you'd be always like, you had him in a sack, how come you didn't? And he's always breaking out of it. It's always the same guys. They know how to do it. It's a skill in itself, and it's just such tenacity as well. Watson's class. And then this week, he's going to be up against Deshaun Jackson. You've got, and then you've got Mahomes kind of entering the fray as well. The AFC playoffs, but unfortunately there's no Tom Brady. It's going to be Ryan Tannehill is going to be the fourth quarterback to kind of go. It's not going to be old generation versus new generation.
And that probably is like, we spoke about this off air as well, Mick. Like, the one lesson I kind of had coming out of last weekend, to my mind, is like that. Like, you will never, like, there's always this debate about, can you build a system around a quarterback, like, or is it all from the quarterback out? Like, which way do you go? So if you look at this year, you've got teams like the Steelers, who built like really effective systems, incredibly aggressive defenses, but just kept getting killed by their quarterbacks because their main quarterback got injured, so they're running through other quarterbacks. You talked about the Bills earlier. Like, Josh Allen has been a really divisive figure this year, and no matter what your stance was going into that game, whether you loved him or hated him, you got enough evidence in that game to hold on to that stance. So if you, like, he gave you ample evidence for whatever position you take on Josh Allen. If you think they will never, which I kind of am leaning towards, that they will never really get to a Super Bowl with a guy like Josh Allen.
Screw you, Morris.
You got enough evidence in that game. If you're on the other stance, which I think both of you are, and you think that he's got like a higher ceiling, you also, like, the first step opening drive was amazing. Like, it was absolutely amazing. It hit both him running with the ball and then kind of this trick play where he goes and catches the ball and gets a touchdown himself. So you've got evidence for either stance kind of out of that as well. And then this weekend, if you look at like, Tannehill is an exception to my mind to this rule. And I also actually think that Kirk Cousins might be an exception to this rule as well, even though he came up with some like massive plays last week. But across the board, like, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson last weekend. Like, that it's kind of these that I just would be absolutely adamant that like, you still do kind of need to prioritize the quarterback and build out from that. Like that,
you absolutely do. Yeah.
Like, say what you want about Allen's fourth quarter, but he still had more offloads in that quarter than the Irish rugby team in the entire Six Nations.
Who'd you steal that joke off?
Nobody.
Oh, I saw that joke somewhere. Sorry, you've also come up with that joke.
There is no such thing as original thought. We all know that.
An unsuccessful offload, though. I think you would agree. Me and Morris literally had that argument about Alan yesterday because we actually do talk, unlike me and you, outside of the office. And I was thinking, like, to be honest, like, you're right. Like, I would slightly disagree with you in that he showed me enough in the first three quarters for me to change my mind on him.
Okay,
as in for me to become someone that is like, maybe this guy is the thing. But here's the other thing, is like, there's so much at play here. We're going to start looking ahead to this week. It's like, this is a great thing for people who don't, like, for people who don't know the how the NFL works. I doubt they will have stuck with us this long because we've gone so deep in it. But what is kind of amazing about it as a tournament, almost, the NFL
playoffs
at this time of year, is that you have these games last weekend where everything is kind of crazy and it feels like it's really deep into it, and you have four matches, four teams are out, four go through, and then it's like this week the divisional round comes in where four teams enter the fray. They've had byes and they're all at home now, and suddenly some years last year you had all these mad results and teams winning away and the wildcard teams winning, and then the four seeds just took care of business and got rid of them, and we had one versus two in both of the conference championships. And then other years what happens is teams go in with momentum, and teams that have just scraped into the playoffs as six seeds or whatever go in, and suddenly they've had a game behind them, the other team is caught cold. You genuinely don't know what you're going to get from one year to another in this round, so it's really, really exciting.
In this round of what, sorry? The NFL
playoffs?
In the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. I went too early that time.
It's like, it reminds me of WWE when you've got like the underdog and they've just beaten someone, and then heel Vince McMahon comes out and goes, "Well, yeah, congratulations, you beat the Patriots, huh? Think you're the big guy. Well, let's see if you can beat the Baltimore Ravens."
Or the Kansas City Chiefs in this regard. So, yeah. So, what we have is, we have, like, massive underdog now in, we got kind of, we knew the Texans are going to be in there. They're underdogs against the Ravens. Absolutely. We all think the Ravens.
Texans against Chiefs.
The Texans against Chiefs. Sorry. So, they've got, Oh, of course. Sorry. I forgot about the way the seeding system works, that everything got messed up there because Tennessee are the lowest seed, so they'll play the number one. So,
which is that game on paper shouldn't be, like, it should have been the best case scenario if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan. And I genuinely do, this isn't biased talking, Chiefs on paper have a way...
Chiefs fan, by the way, just for anyone listening. Yeah.
Chiefs have a way better roster. Like Hopkins and Fuller are good, but like in terms of, you're talking about Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce, the Chiefs' problem is that their pass rush isn't good. They've lost to...
I would argue there that the receiving core is as good as each other. Hopkins is way ahead of all of the rest of them, so therefore he...
Tyreek Hill this
Hardman
season...
Hardman is
but
like whatever.
He caught
rookie.
Fire the last few weeks,
grand,
yeah.
But he's
yeah.
not. You can't rely on him, you know what
of
I mean?
Of course, yeah, yeah. I still do think that the Chiefs have a... much stronger. Well, yeah, I guess it is a bit. I would kind of think that Chiefs get much stronger. So the biggest problem I have is that the teams that Chiefs have struggled against this year are quarterbacks that catch fire. They lost to the Texans on week 7 or 8 already this season, and it was because Watson, like, real kind of, I tweeted the Suarez at Liverpool vibes, like that 2014 season was like, okay, I'm just going to put you on my back and carry you and go here, and they give up. I think the Chiefs are like 5 yards per rush this season already. Watson is a really good runner. They're relying on guys like Tyrann Mathieu, who are like really good kind of safeties and stuff, but it's trying to get coverage, it's trying to get turnovers. Like, they never actually sack quarterbacks, and against somebody like what you see, you talk about the difficulty when Watson gets hit twice and doesn't be sacked. Can you imagine a team that doesn't really sack well anyway? That he's got the potential to catch fire against a notoriously flaky defense anyway.
You're going to rush me on, right, and we'll do picks and we'll skip some of the other chats, right, but I just want to say one more thing about people watching this game is, on the other side versus Mahomes, you have JJ Watt, right, who came back bizarrely is all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say anymore. From a torn pec in 9 weeks, right? It's a 6 month injury normally, right? So he was back and played like last week. And doesn't do anything, it seems like, for three quarters. And when
his brother gets camera time every 5 seconds, though.
Yeah, his brother plays for the Steelers. When he did, though, he changed the game. It's
incredible.
And he comes into it and he's like, you remember, oh, this is why JJ Watt is so famous. Because nobody is like him. When he gets that access to the quarterback, when he manages to get through, he'll absolutely destroy a game.
I was going to say, when you were saying that Watson was carrying that team on his back, it was like, Jesus, in the last quarter, neither team wanted to win that. It was more like Watt was carrying the team on his back defensively.
Yeah, so JJ Watt's one to look for. He'll play better again this week after getting the game under his belt. So that game, for me, has all the hallmarks of a shock written all over it. I think that the Texans are one of those teams that have... like, I would still pick the Chiefs, I have to say. I think the Chiefs will win. I like them, and I think that Mahomes will get the job done. I'm just saying that, and it's a really hard place to go. Kansas City is like the loudest stadium in the NFL.
Arrowhead.
So, like, there's a lot of that, but I just think that it has one of those things where there's a lot of the formula is mixed in for a shock, you know?
The spread is 9.
I think the Texans will beat that. I'm going to go with Texans plus 9.
Texans plus 9. Mars, do you agree?
9.
It's massive, yeah.
That's a very big surprise.
Really surprised by that.
We're doing something different this week, by the way, where I'm going to do the picks, but I don't know the spreads because I overthink these things too much and I end up confusing myself and my records got poor, so I'm going off the instinct.
Let's go back to the first game of the weekend, which is on Saturday night. You've got Minnesota Vikings against San Francisco 49ers. Mate, do you want to know what the spread is?
Are we going to guess it? Okay, like Bill Simmons show. Or the three-man weave GA show.
You can go first. I'll say 7.
9.
7 is on the money.
Is it?
Well done.
Yeah. This is just going to be two teams trying to run over each other. Like, you see how much the Vikings rely on Cook. And in saying that, Cousins comes up with really big plays as well. And then, like, this actually kind of goes in a small way. I'm not going to, like, shit over Jimmy G here or whatever. But, like, it does go a small bit against my theory. Like, that both of them have... I would just say that these are two quarterbacks who have benefited massively from what's around them and really good protection, as much as their talent has kind of gotten them out of holes as well.
Yeah, I do think that Garoppolo has the talent, though. He's at that stage of his career where he's still making mistakes. Don't forget that he is older than most of these guys, but he doesn't have more game time than most of these guys. He played very, very little with the Patriots. He played 10 games with the 49ers or whatever, got injured, and now is back this season. So I think he has all the tools, you know. I think the 49ers are actually going to buck the trend that I was talking about the wildcard teams coming in with momentum. I think Minnesota did everything to beat the Saints, and I think it's a long lot of traveling this week. They're from Minnesota all the way down to New Orleans, possibly back to Minnesota, all the way over to San Francisco. And I think that they've kind of reached their level. I think the 49ers, we've underrated them before every game this season, thinking, oh, well, just because they've come from nowhere, you just don't believe in them. And they beat the Packers by 30 points. You know what I mean? They're a very, very good team, and I think they're going to win quite easily. I will say 49ers minus 7.
Yeah, that's a very convincing argument.
Can I argue with that? It's a convincing argument. Tennessee Titans, Baltimore Ravens up next.
Yeah, so Tennessee Titans knocked out my beloved New England Patriots, but I'm not bitter no matter how much Morris wants me to be.
Can we dwell on that for 1 second? Just for 1 second. Right, like this, it's infuriating.
4-hour podcast.
The Patriots are infuriating. Like, they're absolutely infuriating. For a number of reasons. Like, last season, we Chiefs fans had a scapegoat. Dee Ford made a mistake.
The RTE Director General.
And then, I wish.
Or Steve Forbes, sorry.
I wish, because they probably know where the offside line is. But he lined up wrong, and it basically cost the Chiefs last season.
Tom Brady threw an interception that would have ended their season, would have got the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. It turns out it wasn't an interception because Dee Ford was offside and there had been a flag thrown in the play that people only saw late.
Very
by call,
late,
annoying.
So we had that rage. Plus, combined with that, like, this era of dominance, this dynasty that the Pats have built. And then at the weekend, you kind of saw it kind of slowly fall before your eyes. Like, it was the perfect remedy of kind of disaster. Like, Belichick got out, Belichicked. You saw the stuff that was going on with the clock. the very end of it, Tom Brady throws a pick six, like his potentially his last ever throw in his home stadium, throws a pick six. And so I was kind of very ready to feast on the tears of Patriots fans. And the reaction is kind of like, like you can't dominate for forever. Mick came in the next day and he's like, it was a great game, was it? It was really exciting. I was like, no, like, this isn't what you're supposed to be like. Like, this is wrong. Like, why aren't you mad? Like, why?
I wasn't expecting us all to be so philosophical, but it just happened. I don't know.
So I got to see the Patriots knocked out, and then the joy of it was kind of robbed away from me by the fact that there was no real, there was no counter to it. It was kind of, in a way, it was kind of horrible.
And a lot of people stayed up all night to watch it as well, and then there's like the next morning, as that joy wasn't there on the Sunday when people were finding out the result, they just started to feel really tired. But I will say I want to talk about the Titans, because I'm going to probably pick the Ravens in this. I think you probably reach a level when you're a team with Titans. Derrick Henry,
my man.
He's a big man, he's a running back, and he has a raccoon sticking out of the back of his head.
Looks like Sonic Hedgehog,
right?
Yeah.
And it is a raccoon. It looks like a raccoon's tail sticking out of the back of his head. He is, I'm going to say, the best running back at the moment in current form. This run that he's having at the moment over the last 6 weeks, I'm not saying he's the best, is the best I've ever seen a running back play. He is unstoppable, and it is... They will just feed him and feed him and feed him and feed him and hope it gets the job done. Wear other teams out then as well, because you've got more time in possession, etc., etc. I don't think it'll be enough to beat the Ravens, but it is something to watch out for. You might get a little bit bored with it. I don't know whether people do get bored with that. I know that when I'm supporting a team that's like that, it is very exciting because it just feels like domination. You know, so there is that sort of feeling, but it is it's an interesting thing to watch, if nothing else.
What's the spread, first of all, and then you've got to make your pick?
So I think it'll be the Ravens minus 8.
I'd say bigger, 9.
It's Ravens minus 8.5.
Oh, 15, okay. I think that's a big old spread for the playoffs, like for the...
Playoffs?
At the same time, but... Yeah, I think the Ravens could win it by 2 touchdowns. I think they'll just find a way. Like, the Patriots couldn't score on the Titans, but the Titans, like, other than that random pick six at the end, which almost doesn't count because of the circumstances of the game, only scored 14 points, really, you know?
Can I tell you an interesting fact about Derrick Henry?
Go on.
Derrick Henry, somebody put this up on Twitter after the game, right? Derrick Henry, this is his senior school stats, and one game in particular stands out. He played the... He's basically secondary school. This is in high school, like... He played the Trinity Christian Academy. And the stats that he finished with from that game, right? Carries, 57 carries in one game for 485 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Holy Christ.
In a high school game. It's borderline on child cruelty, but the fact that he put that through. I think the Ravens will cover here. I think Lamar Jackson is the real deal.
Final game of the weekend, Seattle Seahawks against the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay at home.
And who's going to win?
Like, this will be a bit smaller.
It has to be, yeah.
Like, I think maybe Seahawks. Packers minus 3.5.
Seahawks have an amazing record on the road. I think I was supposed to go first here, by the way.
Sorry.
I'll say 4.
Morris, you're 2 out of 4, but still, not better than Mick. Yes, it is exactly Packers minus 4.
Wow, good job. Okay.
Always helps have a frame reference.
That's
this game is going to be weird.
Rodgers
because,
versus Wilson.
Yeah, two amazing quarterbacks. Like, the Packers are 13-3, but it's like it's a weak 13-3. Really, like, I don't know if they've been that impressive. Rodgers actually said at the start of the year, "We need to learn to win ugly." That certainly came true as the year went on. The Seahawks bet a crippled Eagles team that finished the game with a 40-year-old quarterback because Carson Wentz got a dirty hit from behind at the weekend, and even still, like they were dominant without ever really like building the scoreboard. Like, it was a lot of kind of pressure throws where a guy like DK Metcalf, who just kind of comes out of nowhere with these Mr. Gadget robotic arms and just throws, you can throw the ball over his head and he kind of head down, head up. He's a weird wide receiver. He's like a mix between a wide receiver and a tight end, nearly, the way he plays sometimes. He is also only a rookie at the same time. Like, the Seahawks also, on top of that, have a really good record on the roads, and I'm kind of leaning towards Seattle here.
I'm going for Seattle plus 4. The Packers and Seahawks always have mad games. It's like official. It's like a rule of the NFL since it's been Rodgers and Wilson. All their games are crazy against each other. It is the late game on Sunday night, which is like 11:30. It's the Super Bowl time. It's so it's watchable. It's not insane like the 1:30 games, but it is a little bit too late. And it is annoying because this used to be 6:30, 9:00 for this round. Yeah, it was the next round that became the. It was the conference championships were the 8:30 and 10:30. So it's annoying that they've changed it because I feel like we're missing out on a game that you can watch on a good time. But sure, look, it is the way it is. I just think I like the Seahawks here. I don't think they're that good, but I think that it's one of those ones where they could find themselves up against the 49ers in the NFC Championship game and some, you know, against a divisional team that they can beat any day of the week and end up in the Super Bowl without being any good.
Here's another question for you, just looking beyond this, because the Seahawks, while it's, you know, you're going +4, do you think, when you're saying you're going +4 on the spread, are they actually going to beat them?
I don't know. I mean, the real reason I'm jumping on the +4 is because I think these games against each other tend to be mad, and that means obviously they tend to be close. Yeah. So you're hedging your bets there a little bit by going +4. If I had to pick with a gun to my head, I can see them winning the game. I can, yeah.
The reason I ask you is because Seahawks at the minute are 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. The Packers are 7-1. If you were looking at one of them as an outside shout for the Super Bowl, this is your week to get the value, really. Like, you're not going to get, you know, you need to be looking at next week compared to this week if the Seahawks do manage to go through.
I couldn't back the Seahawks to win. I don't think they're good enough. Here's what they'd have to do. They'd have to go on the road to Green Bay and win this week. Then they'd have to go on the road, most likely, to San Francisco. They could have a home game against Minnesota. I think that's unlikely. And then they'd have to go and win the Super Bowl against
Chiefs.
Against
Patrick Mahomes.
You know, Mahomes or most likely Jackson, you know. And
he'll be knocked out in the championship game.
Ryan Tannehill. You never know. Like, you know, it could happen.
Well, there you go. That's right. That's all I wanted to know. You've
playoffs.
You've saved me from a little.
Are we hyped? Like, because we gave a little bit extra of NFL because you made it the Get Hype segment.
Yeah, because
so
I got...
We went deep in the weeds, but did you get anything out of it?
Definitely. And like, this is always the time of year for me, who's more of a fair-weathered NFL fan, that you really get engrossed. Like, last weekend, I was away, I was out at the cinema, came home, and it was literally just the start of the fourth quarter in the Bills-Texans game. And all of a sudden, like, I was like, I'll just check what the score is in this, and then I'm going to bed. And then all of a sudden, it was 2 hours later. And I'm like, I was just like lying in bed then at 2 o'clock in the morning going, oh my God, this is incredible. I can't really sleep after that.
And that actually, like, it's a good note to finish on because it's kind of the biggest takeaway from these games. Like, there's stuff that during the season that people like Mick will appreciate way better than like myself or yourself, Mark, like route runs or like, you know, percentage plays, that kind of stuff. But they're on top of, like, last weekend was the perfect kind of carnival of football. Like, like everybody's kind of losing their mind to the extent where, like, you've got like within one moment you've Josh Allen running the ball, throwing like one of the craziest offloads, like totally unnecessarily. At the same time, you've got like a commentator booger telling them to spike the ball on fourth down, telling them to spike the ball.
Booger.
Like, everybody's just losing their minds. The referees are missing calls. Like, it's just
coaches are getting the clock management is disgraceful.
Backwards, yeah.
All the Bills have to do is catch the ball in field goal range. You think that's all they have to do, but actually no, they have to catch it in field goal range and not have somebody body check someone off the ball.
A blindside check.
But actually, Leo, again, if you're talking about like, is this a segment to kind of get hyped about something that you might not be paying attention to, if you've kind of watched the odd NFL game, you think you might like it. This is, last weekend and this weekend are the weekends to watch it because there is that kind of mad chaos and like things like the coaches genuinely, like, I mean, like, as in they know everything there is to know about this game. Like, they are geniuses. They can see 70 things at once. It's quite incredible. And at the same time, consistently, you know, mainly only in the playoffs or in really tense regular season games, they cannot tell the most basic things. So I can't even remember what game it was now, but one, they didn't take a timeout,
the
right?
The Saints
didn't take
a
timeout. This is before they didn't even take the timeout at the end of the game. They got the ball back, right? And what happened was the other team are letting the ball roll down to the 2 minute war, or roll down to take their punt until the last second they can, right? The Saints had 2 timeouts left. They didn't take their timeout to stop the clock. They let them waste the time. And with that, when the punt happened, they also lost the 2 minute warning, which is a way of stopping the clock. So suddenly they've just lost two chances of stopping the clock, or they've lost they've lost 30 seconds plus a chance to stop the clock. Insane. And then when it comes to it, they get a penalty for an offside. So there's a 10 second runoff. There's 21 seconds to go. This is, and they could get a touchdown to win the game. And they, instead of taking their last time out, they let the clock run down. Instead of, you can take a timeout, can change that rule. They don't take timeout. And then they just kick the field goal to
anyway,
draw.
Yeah.
So they just had a timeout in their pocket. It's just like, these people are geniuses.
Yeah.
And also, legitimately.
Like, we mentioned, when you speak of getting hyped for this, I mentioned before in the podcast that while the red zone is mad, and does that, I always rather everybody just been focused on one game, because you experience it then through Twitter as well. And like, Twitter was on fire for all the games.
Especially the Bills game.
Yeah, it was just incredible. So let's look at, I think I am suitably hyped. You've got your picks there, Mick. We go through them once more. It's the Texans +9, San Francisco 49ers -7, Ravens -8.5, and Seahawks +4. Comes in at 12.5-1 if you want a fourfold accumulator.
Okay.
But look at, regardless of whether you're having a bet on the game or the games at the weekend or not, be sure to enjoy them. If you are having a bet, be sure to gamble responsibly and visit dunlewy.net for more information. We will be back next week to get hyped for another weekend of sport. But before, until then,
be the biggest weekend of the year next week.
Exactly, it'll be the next biggest weekend of the year. But until then, mind yourselves.